Rocking the Casbah. Welcome, it's Jared and Joe, 15 minutes with us, and Joe Myers is here, albeit late.
Yeah, sorry, I was rearranging furniture. I have to do it when John's not home.
So you're kind of cheating on him in some kind of strange domestic way.
Yeah, I'm not behaving the same way I would if he were home. That is true.
He won't let me
change things. You know, he's worried I'm going to hurt myself, first of all. And then secondly, he doesn't like change. And, you know, he doesn't have the same vision that I do, the spatial vision that I do. He doesn't think it's going to fit. So I changed it, and I left him a note, and I came.
Did you? A Dear John note. I moved the furniture. But do you position it like that with him? John, you don't have the vision. Have you said that to him? Is it?
No, that would just piss him off. No, okay, I don't do that. I just go, trust me, will you let me? And then we fight, and then I just wait till he leaves.
Okay, wait. It seems like there is merit to his initial argument that perhaps you could hurt yourself with, you know, what your breast connected to your fingers or whatever, with those cords or whatever you have going on, those lymph cords.
You're talking about, if you're just tuning in and you've never heard our show before, I'm in the middle of breast reconstruction after mastectomy because of breast cancer, and I've got expanders in.
And I've totally baited you just to say that, because I think you'd be concerned about that stuff.
And I'm at risk for lymphedema if I overdo it with my left arm.
Right, and that was John speaking through Joe right there. And so there seems to be some merit to his initial concern that has nothing to do with design or a vision.
I was wearing my compression sleeve, though. It's mostly, he's always been this way. He just doesn't like change. But now we have a cross breeze in our bedroom, and that is the whole point.
What will happen when he comes home and sees that you went ahead without him and did this stuff?
He'll think that I had somebody come over and help me.
And you're going to go with that? You can tell him it was me.
Oh, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, okay. Well, no, wait. You will be lying if you say you had somebody come over and help you.
I won't say that. He'll think that. No, I'll say, no, I did it. I just nudged the bed. It's on rollers, hardwood floor, nudged the bed. The other furniture was on rugs. I just pulled them, you know?
So you say you don't want to lie, but if he is to assume that someone came over and helped you and you're not going to change his mind out of the way, is that some kind of lying?
No, I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him I did it.
But he will still, so then he'll think, oh, Josephine, you're taking too much credit. Somebody helped you.
I doubt it.
So you've done this your entire marriage then? You've had to sneak around like this with the furniture?
Yeah. I mean, after a while, he'd help me. After a while, he just wouldn't help me anymore.
Well, see, I do the same thing with Sarah. It's not really comes down to a vision issue. There's a fear that I will hurt myself because I do some pretty crazy things. Like that gold couch that's by the TV in there. I moved that by myself down the stairs and... A lot of crazy things, a lot of very
how
heavy.
How did you? No, I know how I would do it.
Yeah.
I would set it up with some kind of straps.
Yeah, there was.
And I would put cardboard to make it smooth, and I'd slide it down on its back.
That's what I should have done.
Stand it up on the bottom and turn it and drag it.
It was just me and the stairs and Paco crying, wailing, because he didn't like what I was doing.
Did Paco's you get hurt?
Dog. Huh?
Did you get hurt?
No, I will get hurt. You know that big glass table upstairs?
Yes.
Okay, this thing's like 300 pounds, and I tried to move it outside by myself, and it rolled out of the doorway, went down these boards I built. I built like a 2x4 platform so I could roll it off the porch. Rolled. Just started rolling like a giant wheel, and I had to tackle it like it had ran onto the field, and I was a security guard. I had to tackle this massive, I think it's 6 feet in diameter.
Oh my gosh, it could have gone out on the road.
It would have gone out on the road and just sliced a Daihatsu in half. The thing is massive. And I had to just suddenly, I just had to butt it like a crazed animal. And it fell, luckily, just on the grass. And it was just a few scratches. But it broke. It broke the boards. I had this little bridge. I was going to roll it down by myself, you know. And it was a lot of fear involved. It's weird how much fear is involved. And when there's that much fear involved and it doesn't need to be because you could just ask for help, then that's maybe when you should ask for help. But that should probably give you some insight into my common sense. And so I started moving the thing. It broke the 2x4 bridge and just started rolling.
I would never do something like that on my own.
And so that's why Sarah doesn't. She's like, no, Jared, get help. And I'm like, out of heck with it. So I wait till she's gone and then I just go crazy. I have like this, I get in a zone.
I love doing it. I love change.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Well, you're about to get it. Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you something. First, let's plug our spot.
Oh, plug.
Plug our website.
Yes, jaredandjoe.com. And this is where we do voiceovers. We do copywriting and script. And yeah, I mean, we all were from a radio background, so that's much of the focus. But of course, a lot of people just need that for tutorials online, or the, you know, maybe on their, maybe you've got, you put people on hold and it's just some bad Stevie Nicks Muzak or something like that. Well, then you can have us on there telling, thank you for calling, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and we can do a voiceover for people's websites. You might have just said that. Mm-hmm. And voiceover is really what we love to do.
That's what we like to do. Talking.
It's easy. Yeah. So, you know, please make it easy on us and hire us for voiceover
work. That's right. So okay. We need the money.
We can do anything. All right, so what I wanted to talk to you about was this. Sunday night, we were at a friend's house, and Charlie says to my husband, John, who kind of watches politics, and he says, "What? I need your advice. I'm thinking about taking all my money out of all the annuities and the bank and everything and getting all the cash and like stuffing it under the mattress because he's worried about this
running out of money, the default.
And John goes, "Oh God, by all means, don't do that." And then I said, "Isn't this what people did during the Depression? Isn't this what caused the problem? If everybody goes and runs and gets their money and takes all the cash, pretty soon there won't be any more cash."
That's true. And you know, I don't know where it was. They had an online-inspired bank withdrawal campaign. Customers that were tired of the bank screwing them over with interest rates and poor customer service, whatever it is. And so they started this massive campaign, pull all your money out. We're going to pull all your money out on Tuesday. And it actually inspired change with the banks because they were so afraid of people pulling their money out. And yes, I think that would be detrimental to the economy. And I kind of want to side with that guy just because the banks are always looming over us and you must just screw it. I'm taking my money. Good luck. But at the same time, yeah, I think that would be a huge problem.
If everybody did, we'd have another depression.
Yeah, right. I'm depressed already. And
but yes, I hear you.
Just hearing about this default thing. And that's the thing that makes me crazy. Like the entire world is like saying, hey, America, please don't be a douchebag. And we're like, screw it. We can be whatever we want. You know, and they turn on Lee Greenwood and salute. But it's like, this is really serious here.
As we think of my neighbors.
I know your neighbors with the American flag in the back of the truck. It's really, okay, and this is the thing that ticks me off. That it's just so disingenuous, the whole argument. Like, A, it's in the Constitution, we cannot default on our debts. Amendment 14 is in there. And you'd think, after being what we went through with the recession, that we would say, okay, we're going to have to do this. It's not something we really want to do, but we have to do it. We all spent. We all live in this country that's spent at a ridiculous pace and then, of course, went over the edge. We're all part of it. We're all responsible for that. I mean, no matter what you think of your politician. So we need to do it, and then we need to become more responsible. And the thing that makes it really is disingenuous about it is, A, they talk about tax increases. And when, in fact, they're not tax increases at all, they're closing loopholes. Yeah, sure, that in closing that loophole, a company might have to pay more. But one of the loopholes they want to close is that with the Bush tax decreases, a billionaire hedge fund manager pays less on a bonus than you or I would at our work. Sarah got a bonus. She paid more interest than this one guy. They had an example in this article.
I'll never understand.
Yeah. He's worth $4.9 billion, and he gets his huge annual bonus, and he pays 20% on that bonus. My wife paid 25% on her bonus. It's like, can we not just close these loopholes? But, of course, they have to, you know, posture, and they call it a tax increase. And that drives me crazy. B, another thing that drives me crazy is that, you know, the Republicans only want to do a short-term fix so that in the next few months they have another way to kind of lord it over the Democrats. You know, they can say, aha, it's time to raise that debt ceiling again, and you're going to have to give us this and this and this. Well, I think the Democrats have compromised a lot, which is the third thing that bothers me in this battle of the douchebags in D.C., is that the Democrats just keep rolling over and taking it. Like, they need to come out and say, okay, it's constitutional, and you're shirking on your duty in Congress to get this done. And the majority of Americans polled say, yes, we need to cut expenses, but if the Republicans got elected because they were going to run the government like a business, well, doesn't a business need revenue? So they need more revenue. We need to close these loopholes and perhaps even raise some taxes. It's crazy to me. And one last thing. They talk about, like, oh, if we raise taxes, well, then, you know, you're on the rich, then you're curbing the ability for the job people who create jobs to hire. The best time in this country with jobs was when the taxes were at their highest during Eisenhower, And the worst time for jobs was in the last 10 years when they were at their lowest. That's, and this is not, I try not to be political, but this is just stuff you read and see so much about it. And you start reading these people who are just saying, these economists and these non-political people who are just saying, this is what it means. And then the whole world is watching from the outside, like it's a snow globe of terror, like watching us, like, are you kidding? Are they really going to do this? Because this affects the entire country. And if we default, then we're all going to be paying higher interest rates on all these debts, which is going to be more expensive than if we just raise a little bit of taxes here and there.
You know what, Jared? I don't think the average American reads the stuff you read, reads the stuff my husband reads, reads the stuff other people read. I just don't think the average American is informed.
I don't think so either. I mean,
I think they're just listening to the spin.
It's, I know, and that's the thing. It's like sometimes I get really ticked about the ignorance in this country, and other times I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to run for office and take advantage of it. Because these guys have it easy in D.C. They have, you know, 66% of Americans don't pay income tax. You know, they get a refund. But most of Americans think that these taxes will have some effect on them. When they don't, they don't pay. They pay payroll taxes and they pay their Social Security or their paycheck. They have been convinced to think that that's the taxes that they'll be paying. But it's the income tax that they're talking about here. And not just on regular income. They're talking about high-end income and not even just high-end income bonuses, for God's sakes. And shell companies and overseas companies. These people call themselves patriots, but America's losing money to companies that are skirting American law so they can save money. The least we could do is hold them accountable.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I don't understand everything because I'm not as well versed. But all I know and what I believe is that people want some kind of an easy fix and someone to blame.
Right.
And there's no magic bullet, easy answer. And there are so many people out there you could blame or parties that you can blame. And all that's doing, all the posturing that they're doing is just keeping us from getting things done.
Right. And I think what it does, too, and I think politicians like this, it turns people off the politics. And then there's less public opinion because we're just turned off and they can do what they'd like then. You know, they call it, when I worked in politics, they called it the scorched earth policy. You run during a campaign, you run so many negative commercials that people are just turned off, and then you only get the diehard voters. And some parties do better with just the diehard voters.
So. And I bet you those diehard voters are completely stressed out.
Yeah.
Completely stressed out because of all the information that they have in their brains. It's so complicated. Mm-hmm. I honestly, you know, don't have the time to learn it all.
Yeah.
Does that disgust you, the people who don't
study it? No, you don't have the...
Because I don't study it.
Well, I think there's a niche there for some kind of brief radio show or something. I did this podcast forever called The Brain Revival, where I just tried to do bullet points on what, break down what things meant. So there needs to be something like that's out there.
Well, you know, I think that's a good idea, but if you could refrain from using words like douchebag and one party against the other.
Well,
otherwise, then you just end up preaching to the choir. I mean, I honestly don't believe that anyone is evil.
Well, I do.
I think...
Well, no, I wouldn't... You know,
I used to, but those people aren't in power anymore.
Right, well, okay. Oh, they're gone?
Yeah.
Well, no, there's definitely douchebags. And I wouldn't use that in my radio program. You know, it wouldn't be like, you know, the best. But, I mean, the thing is here, okay, if the Republicans come, this is what the Republicans actually said. And I'm only using the label Republicans so we know who we're talking about here. Not, but they actually said, this is our duty in Congress to do this, but we don't want to be seen on the record as doing it. So we're going to turn over the responsibility to the president. And then once he makes the hard decision, we're going to attack him as irresponsible. They actually said that, but nobody's paying attention.
Well, who said it?
John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, these guys in the House. That was their backup plan, because they want to get elected. They have a lot of seats they want to garner, as of course the Democrats do too. And so they don't want to make the decision on raising the debt ceiling. Why? Because 90 of these major Republican politicians signed a deal with Grover Norquist, with he's with the Tax Policy Institute or whatever, this very conservative institute, and they would say they'd never raise taxes. So now they don't want to be on record saying they had anything to do with raising taxes
for this
compromise. So they want to turn the duty over to the president, have him make the decision, and then they could look like they had nothing to do with it. Well, and politicians do this all the time. They will sometimes be absent on a vote or anything, so they can't be pegged during a campaign season that they voted or didn't vote on it.
So they say, they said, we're not raising taxes, but they just call it something else and still do it.
Yeah.
Well, and their constituents vote them in into office based on the statement, we're not raising taxes.
Right, right. And so, and then what they do is they turned over, yeah, so they shirk their duty, essentially, and not do anything about it and hope somebody else does so that they are not on the record as doing it, which is just, to me, it's like, how did you got elected on this kind of?
Yeah, I don't understand, because if these people are doing this on purpose, then they must have no conscience, therefore they must be evil.
Well, that's a lot of people get elected now just so, they get the huge consulting job and the book deal and the speaking tour on the other side. That's what it seems to be now.
Totally out of touch with people like you and me.
But yes, and that's the thing, too. What really drives me crazy is people are paying so little attention that in one of the two major parties, hold on,
Oh,
the roofing guy. One of the two major parties in this country can say, we're not going to do it, we're going to have somebody else do it, and then we're going to attack them. I mean, are you kidding? That's crazy. Now, has this been interesting at all, being all political like this?
I've been interested because, okay, you know, you explained some things to me just now that I didn't understand, but I don't know how many people stayed with us
to this point. Well, thank you. You did. I get a little luxury. Hang on one second. I got to go talk to the roofing people.
Well, let's just knock off for today, and okay, then we'll pick up with the politics next time.
Let's pick up something completely different. I got that off my chest now.
Okay. Well, better? It helped me.
Yeah. Well, good.
All right. JaredandJoe.com for all your voiceover needs. Got to go getting a roof estimate. Well, Jared is.
Oh,
is
that? Oh, didn't even turn it off.
How long was it?